Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Thank you, D-Mace. I'm figuring out a headset situation. Willie's back!
Is this thing on? Does this work? Hello?
Gotta get the dust off of it, Willie. It's just been sitting in the corner this whole time.
It's good to be back, peeps. What's going on?
I hardly even recognize you.
I know. I've missed 8 straight shows.
It's been 84 years, approximately. But happy to have
in
you
in radio
back
years.
The
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Radio years are like dog years, except longer.
Yes.
Good trip.
Oh, fantastic! I've been everywhere. That was like the Johnny Cash song. We were in 11 different states on this last trip, and then if you add going to Louisiana the week before for the last travel tournament, that was 3 more states. So I think I calculated 18 states for the summer that we've driven to. But this was the last. This was the big one. We had vacation in there. My son Mahoney was pitching up at a showcase up there. He did really well, and then the rest of the time we did a lot of family stuff. Saw a lot of different people. Went to some ballparks. I actually saw the Phillies no-hitter by Michael Lorenzen. I had never been to a major league game where a no-hitter was thrown.
It's
that
so
was
cool.
Really cool.
So
amazing.
Cool.
And I had no link to either team, but with the home team doing it, the crowd building each inning, they had about 30,000 there. The Phillies are, you know, they're in the race.
Right.
They're the defending NL champs, so it's a pretty good atmosphere there. And it was awesome. I mean, that was, you kind of jump on the bandwagon. You're just like, hey, we're here. Let's see something special. So by the end of the game, we're cheering for the Phillies. I never cheer for the Phillies. I'm a Mets fan. But you get caught up in the moment. So
and
that was pretty cool.
Especially at the home ballpark. It's hard to not feel a little bit of the magic happen.
And we had been to the Mets game the night before, and the Mets are clearly out of it, going in a different direction. So we could duck that in a little bit and not feel like we're cheating on
you
the Mets.
Team hop for a little bit. I won't.
But we went to 4 big league ballparks in 5 days. Fenway, and then on the way home, driving home, we went to the Mets, the Phillies, and then the Orioles yesterday. We played an afternoon game.
I was about to say, did you
And
go
so
to
we
the
looked
Orioles?
For the D-Mace. We saw the Ray Lewis and the Johnny U statue. But
mine was, you didn't see mine.
It was tucked around the corner
a
little bit.
Tucked around the corner.
We
didn't go all the way around.
We did.
Yes.
We tried. Uh-huh. We asked security if we could walk into the stadium. Okay. We seriously did this because we snuck into the Eagles stadium before the Phillies game. Uh-huh. And Mahoney, he has no fear. Like he did it with LSU's field. And I didn't have the guts to do it. I stayed in the hallway there where the Phillies the Eagles Hall of Fame is, with Harold Carmichael and Wilbert Montgomery and Ron Jaworski and all those
so
guys.
Cool.
He ran up the stairs and went out on the field and took a picture of himself and did it. So we wanted to do it for Baltimore. We asked the security people, hey, can we just walk in there and take a selfie? Mm-hmm. And walk right back out. And they were like, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. The security. We're like, what? You got to be kidding
Never
me.
Never ask permission.
We're like, we
Only
know D-Mace.
Ask forgiveness.
Absolutely.
We know D-Mace.
Hey, man, y'all didn't say it loud
enough.
I know.
We should have dropped your name. That might have helped us.
Exactly.
But it was great. And all 4 of the major league parks were fantastic atmospheres. Obviously, Fenway is off
Classic.
The charts. But everybody's got a good atmosphere. And the speed of the game. Every one of the games were about 2.5 hours or less. The game is moving so much better. So the big league product, I think, if you were one of those fans like, I don't like going, the games take too long, those days are over. Unless you get a slugfest, in which case it's a really fun, you're happy to stay there, right? Mm-hmm. If it's going back and forth and it's 10-9, that's great. But the game moves. It doesn't drag. And so I think the product is the best it's been in a long, long time.
It really is. a very noticeable difference. And now I find myself getting so used to how short the games are that when the games go maybe a little bit longer than usual, and usual like for this season, like let's say closer to 3 hours, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know.
Get on with it already. When last year, in the entirety of my baseball watching lifetime, games were three and a half.
The average was 305 last year. The average. This year, the average is 235.
Oh, wow.
The no-hitter, for example, was 209. So we were out of there, which was great for us because we're trying to drive back down here, eventually get here. So we're going, we got to get to our next spot. So we're driving an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending where we were going the next day. So it was great to get out of there. If we had a 3 or 4 hour game, that's costing us big time. So and then the smaller market teams. It's too bad that the Cardinals, the Tigers, and the Mets are having lousy years. Yeah. But you look at that. We saw the Orioles yesterday. They're finally getting good. Their fans are excited. You know, Rays, you know, some other Reds.
The Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks they're on the skids now, but they were in there for a while. But some of the smaller market teams are having good years. So that's another good thing, I think, for the game.
209 is crazy. That's like half of a CBS 230 college football game.
Yeah.
209 is crazy.
But you love that. You get in, you see a great game, and you get out of there.
And it was his career high in pitches at 124, which is kind of insane to put into comparison.
That is high.
Yeah, 124. And then also in the game, you never know. This is the beauty of going to a game as opposed to just flipping a game on. You just never know what you're going to see. You might see something crazy. So there was a kid from Clemson, first major league at bat. Homered on the first pitch, first swing that he had. Second pitch, Weston Wilson is the guy's name. I think he played against Vanderbilt in a regional several years ago. But that was cool, right? You see a moment like that. He gets a standing ovation. So he may never have another moment in his life like that. He could never. Maybe he doesn't stick. You know, maybe he doesn't play for 5 years.
Yeah, at least
but
he hit a home
he'll
run.
Have that. He can always say he tells Greg, I homered my first. Yeah. Major league at bat.
And then his kids are going to be like, no, Dad, like, we know you talk about that all the time.
Here he goes again, telling the story.
Okay. We get it.
Yeah, I know. You hit a home run, fine.
I know. You told us.
Yes.
His family was there, though. They were going nuts, as you can imagine.
Oh,
like, they showed
him
there. And Michael Lorenzen's mom was in the stands, the mom. And you want to talk about emotional. She was just bawling, you know, and shooting video on her phone just like all the fans were. It was just hilarious.
Has got to be, you know, your whole life when you're rooting for your kid and chasing their dreams. That's got to be the coolest thing.
No, but it was awesome.
Weston Wilson is a former Sound, by the way.
Just oh, is he?
Yeah, okay. Drafted by the Brewers back
I should have been dropping that knowledge in the stands. So I needed you there, Nick. Where were you?
Sorry. Hey, I was here. I was holding down the fort.
Just soccer, Nick. Baseball, Nick, too.
I was referring to you as George Costanza. Where were you, man?
Okay.
But glad you had a good trip, Willie. Happy to have you back into the fold.
Glad to be back. Let's talk.
Let's get
some sports.
Into it. Because we've got football tomorrow. Woo-hoo. We've got a Titans game tomorrow. Now, Willie, D-Mace and I were throwing this question around yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on this. How much do you want to see from the starters?
You know, I think they should play a little bit. I'm one of those that, even if it's two series, I think it's smart to play the starters. You know, you can play them or not play them. We know, like, for example, Ryan Tannehill did not play a snap in the preseason that I can remember last year, right? Isn't that right? I don't think he played a single down.
So. It was all Logan Woodside and Malik Willis.
And he still got hurt in the season. So, you know, it can happen. It can happen in practice. So I'm not one of those that says don't play him because they might get hurt. I do think there's something to be said for a little bit of get your work in, get out of there. So I'm a 1-2 series guy.
That's what I said yesterday. And in camp so far, the offense hasn't looked great. I mean, Ryan Tannehill in practice yesterday threw a pretty bad interception. And I think he has either 3 or 4 so far in camp. So I want to see them just get in, get acclimated, let Ryan Tannehill continue to build rapport with the offensive line. It's a new offensive coordinator, new offensive system. I want to see it in a game setting. I don't need to see Ryan Tannehill for an entire half. Like, 2-3 series max is fine. That's all I really need. But I think just getting that in-game experience is valuable, especially considering how slow this team started off in the first game this past season, how rough they looked in that Arizona Cardinals game at the beginning of the 2021 season. You know, I don't need to see a lot. I just want to see a little bit. Just to hop in there, get the rust off. And it's not like the Chicago Bears defense is going to be anything that really, you know, instills fear. So I think it's a good opportunity to get some quality game reps in the new system with so many new pieces and parts on this offense.
The offensive line, too, mm-hmm. Derek, wouldn't you say? Everything I've read since I've been gone trying to keep up, it centers around, hey, the offensive line. They're going against a very good defensive line in practice every day, but it looks like they could use some work. And it might be fun to play against somebody other than the guys in your same uniform.
Oh, it will be fun. But, you know, like I said yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Tannehill plays. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. You know, considering the circumstances of, you know, where the Titans are at, their offensive line. And I know everybody wants to see, you know, Ryan Tannehill in front of this offensive line, you know, during live games. But the situation that they're in, I don't think you can do it. I don't think it benefits your team anyway. One reason why I don't want, you know, I really don't want to see him in a game, but okay, if he plays, okay, I get it. Terrell Williams is the head coach. Something happened to Ryan Tannehill. You know who they're going to be looking at? They're going to be blaming Mike Vrabel.
Why?
And then, because my thing is, if he goes in a game and he gets hurt, say in the first series, mm-hmm. people are going to say, well, whose decision was that to make? The Ryan Tannehill play? Was it Terrell Williams' decision or was it Mike Vrabel's decision? And Mike Vrabel, as a head coach, why are you playing your starting quarterback in front of an offensive line that is still a work in progress? It's not like you got Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones, you know, anchoring that offensive line. You don't. You have a bunch of new guys. I know Brewer is not new, but you're still ushering in some other guys that hadn't played together. Why would you throw them out there? That we all would ask that question. That would be the first. I can hear Jared right now screaming over the airwaves if something was to happen to Ryan Tannehill with Terrell Williams as head coach in a game that doesn't mean anything. I understand Ryan can get hurt in practice. I get that.
And Ryan can get hurt first game of the season behind that offense.
But him getting hurt now, why would you even take that chance? It's like, why would I even put my guy out there to take that chance? I get it. Nobody's going to fuss if the first game of the season or in practice, Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. Ryan Tannehill gets hurt in practice. Why? Because there may be a guy may trip over an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman may fall back. Or more than likely, he's getting hurt on football. Non-contact. It's a non-jack injury, which means sometimes it's an ACL or an Achilles, something like that. But if he gets hurt in the regular season, people are like, okay, I get it. But if he get hurt in one of these games, the fans are going to want to have his head. Everybody on that coaching staff. They are. Because, again, why are you playing him? It's not like you got a veteran offensive line. Taylor Lewan's not at your left tackle. Ben is not at your center. Nate Davis is not here. You don't have these core guys that you have been with. So why throw them out there? Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I'm thinking, like, who does that benefit? It only really hurts if something happens.
That's for sure. It's the risk reward. Mm-hmm. But you don't think there's a benefit, though, for a couple series, getting the rhythm, getting used to the new guys, the routine? You don't think that is worth doing?
Anytime you go out there and you can, you know, when you're playing against another opponent, and you go out there and you're running through your place, it's all beneficial. It's beneficial when you're out there at practice every day. But I am not going to subject my starting quarterback when the guys behind him are young and unproven. Anything happens to my starter, the season's done. Now the defense got to work extra hard to try to make up for us not having our starting quarterback. Again, it sounds great, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did play. Mm-hmm. But if he gets hurt, everybody in the city of Nashville, the surrounding areas – everywhere in Tennessee is they're going to want to have Mike Vrabel's head asking, and Rand Carthon asking, why did you put him in that game in front of an offensive line that isn't proven?
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I know. I hear you. So let's continue the conversation coming up next, because the offensive line is absolutely a concern about this team. What TD had to say about the offensive line, we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Whitley, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Talking about one of the best receivers in the league, I don't care what anybody says about his age, whatever, he is still one of the best receivers in the league. Clearly the best on this team. So let's look at it that way. And it is different because you don't have that guy, as much, even though Treylon Burks is developing into that, you don't have that guy that you feel is open even when they're covered. So it is definitely different. I think having him out here, and I wrote about this actually, it posted today, and you look at that 2020 team, right? You had A.J. Brown, 1,000-plus yards. You had Corey Davis, 986, right? Or 984, 16 yards short. You had Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards, over 2,000, 2,025 to be exact. 16 yards short of being only the third team to ever have two 1,000-yard rushers and a 1,000-yard receivers and a 2,000-yard rusher, right? Now, I'm not saying this team will do that, but this is the most balance that they've had since that point. Whereas you have, I think Burks is fully capable of a 1K receiving it season. We know what Hopkins could do. I'm not saying that Henry will have 2,000, but I think he's very capable of 15. So now that's a nice balance that you have there.
There you go. That was TD on the TD Power Hour yesterday on Stillman and Company. And look, I see it. D-Hop could be the difference for this offense, because we saw D-Hop when he was on the field, and then when D-Hop wasn't at practice, the offense looked considerably different. The offense struggled. I do think that Treylon Burks can take a big step forward this season. What I've seen in camp so far, and when we sat down with him at training camp, like, it feels different. It feels like what Treylon Burks has to offer this year is so much more than what he was able to offer this past season if he can stay healthy. So all of those things, like and Derrick Henry, TD mentions, you know, he could have a 1,500-yard season. I don't think that's far outside of the realm of possibility in the slightest. But all of those things come with an asterisk. All of those things kind of come with a condition. And that's, can the offensive line block? Can they create holes for Derrick Henry? Can the offensive line protect Tannehill so he can go through his progressions and get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks? That's my biggest concern.
I would say for sure. What you try to do, first of all, in checking in with other camps, let's take the Jets, for example, that are in the spotlight for Hard Knocks. What's their big concern? Offensive line.
Offensive line, yeah.
So there's a lot of teams that get into this. But every team has strong suits and weak suits. Mm-hmm. That's how it is in the salary cap. And you're trying to overcome your weaknesses. You're trying to mask your weaknesses. So is this offense good enough to mask, let's hope, an average offensive line? It's hard to mask with their personnel. Mm-hmm. It will be hard to overcome a bad offensive line. Like, they don't have Aaron Rodgers. They don't have Brett Favre and the Heyday. You know, a quarterback who can elevate over that.
Right.
DeAndre Hopkins will help. Derrick Henry will help. But they're at the stage of their career where it's a lot to ask for them to overcome a bad offensive line. Same thing with Tannehill. He's a tier three, solid tier three quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can play tier two if he's got good pieces around him. So the offensive line is so huge. But, you know, we've got to wait and see. It's going to take some time. That's why going back to your topic at the beginning of the show, Caroline, is important. I think even if Tannehill does, let's say he doesn't play at all, I think the starting offensive line needs to play. Mm-hmm. So you've got to risk some things. They need to develop that chemistry. It's going to take some time. They need reps. They need game situations. I think that is what I would hope to see the most. I'm really not that worried. I'd like to see Tannehill get in there for a couple series, get the rhythm with those guys. But if they choose not to do it for the reasons you said, Derek, I'm okay with that. But the offensive line does need to play for this offense to gel and be the best it can be.
Well, the offensive line need to play every game in this preseason. Those five guys need to play together. It's not like they have this immense depth at the offensive line position. So, to me, those five guys need to be playing at least six quarters together. in preseason.
So I'd even take eight.
You take eight.
Throw
I'd take
them
eight
out there.
Too.
Yeah.
But at least six. So we're talking two per game in the preseason. And then you have your, you know, your scrimmages with Minnesota and New England. So that would be considered, you know, another sort of game as well. But they need to be out there as much as possible. And I don't know if, you know, I just don't know if I really trust the offensive line at this point to, you know, put my my starting quarterback behind them in a game, like in a game type situation where they don't have to pull up, you know, and not hit the quarterback. They can run straight through the quarterback legally right now. So I don't know if I want to subject my quarterback, my starting quarterback, to that necessarily.
You're going to have to at some point.
Yeah, that's I would do it, but I have to. It's like one of those things where it's like a, I don't know, a car, airplane, or something. Like, listen, we've put this car together. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to now throw humans in a car, like real live humans. I'm going to put test dummies. Yeah, and I'm going to run it into the wall 100 times until I make sure
it's
right.
Malik Willis is
your test dummy. Exactly, Malik.
Do you slow it down and do it super slow motion? Those exactly. are always fun to see the dummies flying around in there.
So Malik Willis and Will Levis are my test dummies. I am not throwing a real live human being, meaning Ryan Tannehill, behind the wheel of a car that I don't know if it's going to hold up or not.
Did they ever try the bullet with one of those tests? Run the bullet?
Bullet would have ran through it, man.
The bullet's too strong.
They're just built
exactly.
different.
But I wouldn't do that. But again, if they did, I would sort of understand it. But I would be crossing my fingers. And hoping that, okay, let's just get through a series and get them out of there, allow the offensive line to stay in. You know, I heard, I was listening to Get Up this morning as I was getting up. Get that? Get
That's
up
the idea, I guess.
Hence the name.
Absolutely. And they were talking about what Willie brought up, the New York Jets,
yeah.
and them needing an offensive line and their troubles. They seem like they got everything put together except the offensive line. Who does that remind you of? Tennessee Titans. Seems right. like they now have some things put together, but the offensive line is still an unknown. And they were saying, well, should they, the Jets, make a move to try to get Zach Martin? Now, I know the Tennessee Titans have the left guard situation. They believe they have their guy in Skronsky. But would it be beneficial, would it be smart to kick the tires on a Zach Martin? Because now, if that's the case, now I have, if I can pull it off, I got a guy, yeah, he's 31, 32 years old, a guard, but I have a Pro Bowl, all-pro guard on my right side. And now I have the middle of my line solidified with my center and my two guards. This is the anchor of my offensive line. Now I can give help to one of these tackles if they need it. Maybe that's a situation the Titans look at. It may cost too much for them in regards to, you know, giving up picks or eventually having to pay him, because that's why he's sitting out right now from the Cowboys, because they don't want to pay him or they don't want to pay him the money he thinks he believes he deserves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wonder if the Titans should kick the tires on bringing in Zach Martin and what it would cost draft pick wise and obviously a new contract. Because right now they're not paying anybody on the offensive line. They're not.
No.
The offensive line, basically, it's a bunch of guys that they're basically on bargain contracts.
You've got a budget.
Exactly.
Rookie.
A budget. You got a budgeted
you got young guys
offensive line
that you hope to reinvest in.
Exactly.
And you've got some free agent bargain basket guys who
exactly.
then took from other teams that had a surplus, that strong rosters.
So they're not spending money on the offensive line at all.
And that's what they had to do when you're paying your tailback, your safety. We've been through it. Like, most teams don't allocate mm-hmm. that much money to their safety and their tailback, mm-hmm. to name of a few. But this is how you try to make up for it. So I understand what they're trying to do. And that's how the salary cap works. You have to find a way to get some mileage mm-hmm. from inexpensive players.
But when they had
somewhere
their
in
best
there.
Offensive line, they were paying their left tackle, they were paying their center, they was paying their guard. They had a, you know, their line, the money they were paying their offensive line it showed on the field because they were a very good offensive line.
For the most part, and right this now, is a blanket statement, you get what you pay for in the NFL.
And that's what I'm saying. They are getting, as we see now, it can get better, but they are getting what they pay for. Skaronski is a little bit different because he's a rookie and you pay him on a rookie contract. But everybody else.
You invested a very high, you invested your first round pick in him, which is just as good as currency
exactly
in the NFL. So let's continue the conversation coming up next because the offensive line concerns, they are real. I think that's the story of camp is, can this offensive line protect Ryan Tannehill? Is this offensive line holding back the offense from what it can be? Like we heard TD earlier in that clip, what D-Hop does for the offense. He's like a spark plug in this offense. What Treylon Burks can be, what Derrick Henry can be this season. I think that the Titans should play Ryan Tannehill, at least for a couple of series in the preseason game. But let's weigh the pros and cons, the risk versus reward of playing Ryan Tannehill tomorrow against the Chicago Bears. We'll get into that coming up next, and I see your texts. We'll get into those as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Are you worried about the offensive line?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the left side is solidified. The left side, you know, from left tackle to center. Now, he's strung together some solid practices. And then you look at left guard. I know, Jared, you feel it's crazy to draft a guard at 11, but you have to look at the way they want this pocket to be protected. They want it inside out. Mm-hmm. And I get, you know, outside rushes are important. Tackles are important. But I think as a tackle, and I've seen Dillard do it multiple times, if you could just wash that guy down, if there's an opportunity to step up in the pocket, that's all a quarterback wants.
Sure.
They're more concerned with that pocket being pushed back into their face than a guy coming from the outside and getting them. You know, and I think if you have that opportunity to step up and that allows you to get into a throw, you don't have to worry about your hand punching somebody's helmet, you know, that's getting driven back. So I think the guard, Skaronski, he's right where he needs to be at guard. Brunskill, it's a little tough. You know, you're going against Simmons every rep, and we're talking about elite. But the one concern is definitely right tackle. It's absolutely right tackle. And it's one of those things where, okay, they're fortunate that this is a side like Tannehill is a right-handed quarterback, so he could see that coming and get the heck out of there. But guess what? That's all the more important reason why you want that pocket to be protected from the inside out, because those rushers are going to come and he needs to be able to step up.
That was TD on the TD Power Hour yesterday on Stillman and Company. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. So, and I'm one of those people, I want to see Peter Skaronski at tackle. He's your first round pick. He played tackle at Northwestern for the entirety of his career. But where it stands right now with the line, put him wherever you need to protect Ryan Tannehill. You know, put him at tight end if you have to, just to protect Ryan Tannehill. But like TD said, and if TD is concerned about it, that's even more concerning to me. The right side's a concern.
TD tends to be glass half full, which mm-hmm. I tend to be. And hey, we're both Mets fans. You kind of have to be like that. But so if he's concerned, I take note. I do take note if he's seeing some concern there. But I am one that, A, does think Skaronski put him in a position to succeed. If that's guard, that's where you want to start him, I say keep him there. Don't yo-yo him around. I think that leads to other problems. So I see what TD is pointing out there. If you have one side that you feel good about, that's a start. Because this is my big thing. What are the expectations for the offensive line? We want the offensive line to be good. But if your bar is last year's offensive line, which was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
the bar isn't that high. Like, I feel like they can be better than last year's offensive line. That's not asking that much.
It's really, and the bar's on the floor.
You've got the curveball where you got to figure something out for six games for right tackle. I'm envisioning two things. Can I survive at right tackle for six games? And then what does my offensive line look like in the second half of the season? Can I envision an offensive line that's quite a bit better than last year's? I think you can. Think about the disaster that was last year.
Disaster.
That was a disaster. Ben Jones, multiple concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Lewan gone after the second game. A rookie right tackle that was trying to hang in there, and to his credit, he stayed out there.
Mm-hmm. 275-pound guard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had a very undersized left guard that I think they determined is not best used in that spot, right? That's why he's the center
right
now. So I think optimistically, you got a chance to have a better offensive line. It's not going to be confused with the Hogs
no.
from John Riggins' day, right? It's not going to be confused with Emmitt Smith's guys from the mm-hmm. Cowboys in the early 90s, but could they be satisfactory? I think that's the reasonable expectation.
Well, they're going to have to be in order for this team to have success because we believe that, you know, they've done enough to stay competitive in the AFC South. They've given themselves, a chance to win the AFC South because of some of the moves they made, going out and getting D-Hop, signing Chris Moore, getting guys on defense. So we believe that they still have an opportunity to win the South. But if this offensive line isn't better, then it needs to be more than just, let's just put it in percentages. It needs to be more than like 10% or 20% better. It needs to be like 50 or 60%
better.
10%
better yeah. still ain't cutting
it. It's not going to cut it.
That this was a team, bad line.
We need to see a significant difference in what this offensive line looks like. And I think part of it will be how Tim Kelly designs this offense. What is he looking to do? Is it going to be more of a quick passing game? Are they going to allow Ryan Tannehill to be more of the play caller, point? Because for the last 2 years, I believe Ben Jones was that guy pointing out everything and making sure everybody was doing what they were supposed to be doing and calling out protections. Will they allow Ryan Tannehill to do that more now because they have a new center, an undersized center? So will they leave those responsibilities to Ryan Tannehill? If that is indeed the case, well, this offensive line is going to have to figure it out very quickly, because if they don't, this will be the demise of their season, and they will continue to have injury over injury if this offensive line doesn't step up.
And Willie asked a fair question. What are the expectations for this line? I don't need you to be the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line of this past season. I need you to protect Ryan Tannehill and create holes for Derrick Henry. That's all I'm asking. And that might be a whole lot, easier said than done as far as this mm-hmm. line is concerned, but that's all I need.
I'm asking you to do your damn job.
Do your job.
That's what your job is
protect the
do
quarterback.
Do your job, protect the quarterback. If you can't do your job, this business state, that we can find somebody else, or we're going to find somebody else. So just go out there and do your job. That's all, because I believe all these guys have the ability to play in this league and play at a level that's going to keep them here. Well, go out and do your job. That's all we ask of you. Don't try to do nobody else's job. Don't try to do more than what we're asking you to do. If I ask you to play tackle, you play tackle. Don't be trying to, tell the right guard what to do and all other. Play your position and trust that everybody else is going to do their job.
In this line, the concerns, very fair concerns of the offensive line, are the root of the reason why, D-Mace, you don't want to see Ryan out there in the preseason games. The risk of injury is high. But also, risk of injury is there all the time. Like, we saw Joe Burrow tear a calf muscle just rolling out of the pocket, mm-hmm. just running on the field, no contact whatsoever. The reward of playing Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Go look at it, just game reps, knocking some rust off, maybe building a little bit more rapport with the line. Now, it brings up the question of, if you play Ryan Tannehill, are you playing D-Hop? Mm-hmm. Are you playing Derrick Henry? So, risk versus reward for playing Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. The risk is always going to be there with injury. So just from my perspective, why I want to see Ryan Tannehill just for a little bit, just for a few series. Mm-hmm. I think the reward of playing Ryan Tannehill, of just getting reacclimated into a game setting, of furthering the understanding of the offense, building that rapport, might outweigh the possible risk of injury, because the risk is always going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be there, but I don't want to, I don't want to have to take that risk. I don't think I, as a organization, mm-hmm. I don't think I need to take that risk with my quarterback. I don't need my quarterback to be on the field to get a good look at what my offensive line looks like. Mm-hmm. I can do that with my backup quarterback. I can do that with Ryan Willis or Levis, find out how good this offensive coordinator, I mean this offensive line is. I don't need, you know, Ryan Tannehill to be in there for me to determine, okay, the offensive line is doing a good job. Okay, let's go. No.
And it's not just about the line.
Take my quarterback out. Put somebody else, insert whoever you want to. Let that offensive line do their job. Let them block. If I see that in this first game that, okay, they're picking this up, then I may think the next go around to put my quarterback in. Because eventually I'm going to have to play him. I want to play him, not have to. I would want to play him a little bit in preseason. But I need to know, like, are these guys going to be able to hold up when those lights come on and it's for real? So let me pull him back for this first preseason game. Let me see how these guys do. They make any mistakes, we're going to correct them in the film room the next day. But then we got practices coming up with other teams. So by the second game, I should know or should feel confident enough on whether I need to put my quarterback in there or not.
Can you mitigate it some with the plays you call? If you wanted
to
play.
Yeah, it has to be a lot of
run. If you wanted to play them a series
or two.
Yeah,
quick pass.
Yeah, get rid of it quick. Uh-huh. You're not having a 5 or 7 step drop, even if it's 3rd and 8. I think that's what you would do. But I do think there's a lot. Look, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here on Monday and say, why didn't they play the guys?
Right.
You know, it's not that big of a thing in the big picture. I just would prefer that you get in there, you get a little rhythm, you go through the game. It's like in spring training for baseball. You don't throw your starting pitcher out there the first outing for 9 innings, but you get him a couple innings and you build. So I'm okay with a build if that's what I would prefer. I don't think the injury risk is that big if you're playing just a series or two. And you got a lot of new pieces. You got a new offensive coordinator. So I think it's worth it to put him in there a little bit. But I see hold back a game if you're going to then play him a little bit in the second game. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you then decide probably not to play him
right
in the third game. But somewhere in there, I think getting a little bit of work in both games would be good.
And I do think it's also one thing in the Titans' favor. On Saturday against Chicago, like, you're not going up against Myles Garrett. Like, you're not going up against one of the top defenses in the league. 615.
They weren't so good last year.
They were not very good. At all last year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get your thoughts on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game.
About playing Ryan Tannehill.
My gut tells me that we're going to have a staff meeting after this, and we'll talk about what we're going to do going forward.
There were those Terrell Williams at the podium yesterday. I admire Paul Kaharsky's try. Try to get a little something out of Terrell Williams, but, you know, the beginner's luck.
Hey.
Held it back.
You don't know if you don't try, huh?
Exactly.
Yep. And, you know, the guy hasn't been through it before. He's got to get used to
it. I thought I could throw him a curveball or something.
He's got to learn how to answer those questions if he's going to be a head coach. Exactly.
He did a good job.
He did a great job.
And, by the way, I have not weighed in on it, but really cool thing that Mike Vrabel is doing. Develop coaches just like you develop players,
exactly.
Right? Why not in a preseason do this? So I think that's really cool. I'm really – it gives you another reason to watch the game to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I think from Mike Vrabel's standpoint, he can still do what he needs to do to get ready for the season. So great idea. I'll bet you this. A lot of other teams will start doing this.
Of course.
And Mike Vrabel will be the first.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And I was just so impressed by him yesterday. And not that I expected anything different. I just didn't know what to expect. I didn't.
Yeah.
Before this past week, I didn't really know much about Terrell Williams. Mm-hmm. And he was a good coach. But him as the person, I didn't really know much about him. Really impressed by what I heard from Terrell Williams yesterday at the podium. We've got some thoughts in our text line. So unless we have thoughts.
Let's go.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought. Our dear old friend.
Indy Ben.
How did I know? Some things don't change. I was gone for 8 straight shows. Indy Ben still
trucking. Indy Ben is still here.
Still trucking.
I'm glad he's still here.
I would have taken that to the bank.
Yeah, take it to the bank. Indy Ben will be listening. The Texan says, after watching the Colts change a few starters on the offensive line last offseason, resulting in some early season struggles. I can tell you that it will take some time for the Titans' new offensive line to work as a cohesive unit. Right now, Skoronski might be the only guy I'd be sold on. I don't agree with Indy Ben very frequently. I do agree with that.
I don't know if I can, any one of them. Seriously. Does he say that about Skoronski because he was the first pick? You know, he was their first round pick. But other than being in their first round pick, he hasn't shown anything either, like in when the lights come on, mm-hmm. when it means something. I'm not saying he's not like a good player. I'm not saying that. But, you know, I'm not going to feel confident in any one of these guys, really, because we have not seen these guys play together, all five of them play together, against someone that is not their teammate. And his offensive line has a lot to prove, you know, going into this this regular season, especially going into this first preseason game. Everybody's going to be watching it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys have analyzed this backwards and forwards, but this is what we don't know. But you take the biggest question mark position group and you put them up against the strongest position group every day. What does that look like? And we know mm-hmm. it has looked like we kind of thought it would look like. But what will that mean when they – what will that do for the offensive line mm-hmm. when they actually start going against other guys? How much can that help them improve? How much is that making them look worse than maybe they actually are, going up against Jeffrey Simmons and T.R. Tar? I mean, this that's a great test. It's an opportunity to get better faster. They're right. all saying that. Mm-hmm. We won't know what that means yet, but I am curious about that. It's because you always ask the question, well, if there's a good play mm-hmm. by the offense, was that really the offense or just bad defense? Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a classic question we ask every August, right?
Exactly. I think that is one thing that I always have to keep in mind mm-hmm. is, you know, what it's not the easiest learning curve when you're going up against Jeffrey Simmons. But again, it's not going to be the only Jeffrey Simmons kind of player that you face all season long.
But it hopefully makes you better, right? It's the old thing about, let's just take travel baseball, which I have a lot of experience in over the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. You can take your team to a travel tournament at one level and dominate, right? And you can find tournaments where if you want to take your team, you assess your level and you want to go in there and win a bunch, you can schedule your way into a lot of wins. Mm-hmm. But then you can also take a team that's the same group of guys, play them in other tournaments, and get your tail beat a bunch. But there's a happy median that you're trying to strive for, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to try to get the best. You know, you don't get better if you're just beating up on inferior competition. Mm-hmm. You might lose a bunch, but it might be the best thing for your team to learn how to get better and start achieving against higher level competition. So that's what's happening here, mm-hmm. right? You got this new group of offensive linemen going up against a very strong position group. I'm hoping that speeds up the process of gelling and doing what they need to do to be the best they can be. That's what I'm sure that they're trying to subscribe to every day. If I'm the offensive line coach, I'm like, hey, man, you did a pretty good job there against Simmons and those guys. Okay, that's good. Or, hey, you're not going to win every battle against that guy. That guy's the one of the two or three best in the game at his position. If you can survive there, it's going to make you stronger.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's up to, you know, at least in practice.
Yeah.
It's up to if this offensive line is going to get better, obviously they have to do the necessary things that are going to contribute to that. But I think it's on the defensive line as well. If I'm Terrell Williams and we go into those meeting rooms, I'm like, listen, Braves, I'm going to put as much pressure as I possibly can on this offensive line, because it's not like we have a shabby or makeshift defensive line. We have one of the best in the National Football League. I don't know if they're going to go up against a front seven like ours. Mm-hmm. So every day, and I'm sure this is what Vrabel's saying, take it to him. Pin your ears back. Go at him every play. I want to see how this offensive line is going to react.
Don't hold back.
Exactly. Don't hold back. So it's sort of this team concept thing, team concept that Vrabel preaches. We're going to help one another get better, iron sharp as iron. Mm-hmm. Well, if that is indeed the case, then I'm going to make sure the defensive line that I have, which is one of the best in the NFL, we're not taking plays off against our offensive line. We're going to try to embarrass you, because in doing that, we hope that it's making you better.
And one kind of scary side of that, too, to kind of flip the coin a little bit. I believe that this is going to be one of the top defenses in the National Football League because of that front seven. But what if it's really not as good as we expect just simply because they're going up against this offensive line that we think is
That's
so bad?
Trouble all the way around then.
I know.
That is trouble all the way around.
And you know that Jeffrey Simmons is a sure thing. Mm-hmm. And I love what I have seen from and heard from Arden Key and Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, I'm very encouraged about this defensive line. Mm-hmm. But they're not challenged too much in practice.
Not with this
right.
offensive line.
But, yeah. but I think we know that other than Key, it's a pretty well-known quantity what you're getting from that group. These aren't new guys.
Right.
Now, the unknowns are key. The unknown is what are you getting from Landry?
Mm-hmm.
But I still think if it's Simmons,
you still got Autry,
Tart, I think, is a known quantity now. I think he's a really good player. Weaver is a little bit more of a known quantity now. I mean, there's guys. Like, I know what that looks like.
And the Gibbons, Monty Rice inside linebacker competition.
Yeah. That's
question
that's
mark.
Yeah, that's new.
But your core is still the same, and it's still just as solid as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Benn also continues to say, are we sure that the Titans' offensive line will be better this season? They arguably got worse at right guard, right tackle, and center, as Ben Jones was a solid rock there. Also, Dillard is also far from the sure thing, but he could end up being better than that turnstile daily.
I mean,
if he's not better than Daly,
we got problems.
We got serious.
That's, that's an issue.
Right. We don't know how good or how bad this offensive line is going to be, or is, or will ultimately be. We just hope that with new faces, new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, that they're going to put this offensive line in a position to succeed. That's why I do believe Tim Kelly is everything's going to be quick passing, trying to get the ball in the hands of the receivers or giving the ball to Derrick Henry, because you want to lessen, you know, that, you know, what you want to lessen the effects that the offensive line have on a game, meaning bad, you know, in regards to them not being as good. So you want to try to help them out as much as possible and allow them to sort of get into a rhythm and learn as they go.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now, we cannot project the full 53-man roster quite yet. It's too early. It's not fair. But we can announce our locks, and we will do that coming up next. Our official roster locks for the 2023 season. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.